Good morning.
Good morning.
What a blessing it is to be together to worship and to praise God. Please forgive the raspy sound of my voice. But you're not here just to hear me talk. We're here to hear what God has to say. And so I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your very kind reception, for your very generous words, and more than that, for the faith that we share, for your dedication to the Lord and to His will for our lives and for eternity. This morning, I'd like to speak about something that pertains to all of us, something that we struggle with from time to time. Something that we need, and we are in need of giving. This morning, I'd like for us to consider the challenge of forgiveness. About a year ago, Laura and I went out to San Francisco, and we went to Alcatraz. Maybe some of you have been on that craggy rock there. And we got to walk through the prison. And I got to take a picture of Laura behind bars. And I should have brought that and put that on the screen. That's kind of a great picture. But imagine being sentenced to Alcatraz, the prison, the rock, for a crime that you had committed. And then imagine someone opening the doors of the prison and saying, "You go free." That's really what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is allowing ourselves, being allowed ourselves, and allowing others to go free. And so it can be a challenge to forgive, but it is something that is necessary for our lives and for our spiritual well-being. There are some misconceptions about forgiveness. I'd like for us to look at some of those this morning, and certainly not in enough depth, but just enough to perhaps get a better understanding. And one of the first misconceptions about forgiveness is that forgiveness must be sought in order to be granted. In other words, somebody must ask in order for forgiveness to be given. Many years I have labored under the assumption that, you know, for me to forgive somebody, they've got to come ask me first, and then I will forgive them. Then I'll let them go. Then I will release them from the debt that they owe me. But brethren, I really don't think that that is accurate. I don't think that that is true, because there are too many plain Bible passages that help us to see that. And the first one I want us to consider this morning is in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. And Matthew chapters 5 through 7 have been called the Christian's Constitution. And really, it is the framework or the groundwork that God lays for those who are going to be followers of His. Jesus says, if you're going to be a follower of mine, that these are some things that you must do, that you must understand. And so in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 44 beginning, Jesus says, "Give to him who asks, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you," here is a transition, here is a change in thought. You've heard that it had been said this way, but this is what I'm telling you that the facts are. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Here's a radical teaching. This is certainly something that had to... Where are you up here when I want to grab you? This is something that really would have to shake the people to the core. You've heard that it was said that you ought to be this way, but I'm saying, no, you ought to be this way. And let me ask you the question this morning. How can we love our enemies and bless those who curse us and do good to those who hate us and pray for those who spitefully use us and persecute us if we haven't forgiven them? It is impossible, because those are diametrically opposed to an unforgiving spirit or unforgiving heart. And so I say to you, brethren, that we must be willing to and able to forgive, even though it's not sought by those who are wishing to have it granted. In another passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 11, in verse 25. Mark chapter 11, in verse 25, Jesus says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against another, what? Forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses." If you have something against someone, forgive them. Send it away, that you might be forgiven. You see how radically, how desperately important that is, that we understand this teaching on forgiveness. I've known people, and you've known people as well, that have been in the prison of an unforgiving heart. They've been bound and shackled by it. And all they have to do is say, you know, I'm not going to dwell on that anymore. I'm going to send that away. I'm not going to allow my heart to be embittered by that hurt and by that pain anymore. And we can do that. We have the power to do that. But we're going to talk about why it is hard to do that, because that's not easy to do. It is going to be a challenge for us to do. But it must be something that we do. Another misconception about forgiveness is that forgiveness removes the consequence of guilt. Forgiveness does not remove the consequences of guilt. I may be forgiving of something, but there still may be some ramifications from that. Just recently, to tell you a heartbreaking situation back home, about a year ago, one of the members of the church committed adultery on his wife. And we counseled with him, and she forgave him. She wanted that relationship restored and was willing to do whatever it took on her part. But he didn't want the consequences of that. He didn't want to tell his wife where he was going. He didn't want to do the things that would show her, that would let her know that I'm serious about our relationship. He thought, well, you know, we just pick up where we left off, and there'll be, you know, you don't ask me any questions and I don't give you any answers. And I told him that's crazy. That is ridiculous. Whatever it takes for you to restore your marriage, she's forgiven you. You need to do it. You need to jump through the hoops, then, so to speak, to show her that you are genuine in your part. And so we need to understand that forgiveness does not remove the consequences that we might have to deal with. It is something that we really need to understand. Another misconception about forgiveness is that forgiveness, to forgive, means to forget. I wish that were the case. How many of you have a delete switch on the back of your head where you can just punch and then all the memory of things are gone? We're just not made that way. We remember things. Things come to mind. But having said that, we don't have to dwell on those things. We don't have to allow those things to marinate in our minds. And because what that does take us back to that situation and that time. And so we can forgive without dwelling on it. But we can't really forget it. It happened. And it's something that we will think about from time to time. But it doesn't mean, again, it's something that we dwell on. That's very important. Another misconception about forgiveness is that forgiveness cannot be granted, or it will endorse bad behavior. You know, if I forgive you, then it means that I'm all right with what you did. If I forgive you, then somehow it's going to endorse, or it's going to give credence to what you did. Forgiveness does not endorse, it doesn't give credence to bad behavior. It doesn't mean because I'm willing to forgive that I accept what you did. It doesn't mean that at all. But what it does mean, dear heart, what it frames for us this godly understanding that I'm able to move beyond that. I'm able and I'm willing to move beyond that. Yes, what you did may have been heinous. It may have been heart-rending. But I am not going to dwell on that. We're going to talk more about the importance of forgiveness in just a moment. But also, a misconception about forgiveness is that it means that that you're weak or that you're a pushover. None of us want to be taken advantage of. None of us want to be anyone's doormat. So if I forgive you, then that means that, you know, you're going to walk all over me. That you're going to think that you have license to do what you want to do. We need to understand something about forgiveness. Is that there is forgiveness that God requires of me. But ultimately, there is forgiveness that we all must have from the Lord. And that's God's business. That's what God, that you and I will have to take care of in front of our God. But that doesn't have the ramifications upon me that I say, well, you know what, I'm going to play God. I'm going to put myself in the position of God. And so we need to really frame this conversation in the right way. And so forgiveness doesn't mean that you're weak. In fact, brethren, I think it means that you're strong. I think that it means that you are a person of character, a person whose heart and whose desire is to do what is right and to be right. And so there's no weakness in that. There is no shame in that. But rather, I believe that there is a Christ-like spirit in that kind of attitude, that kind of desire to forgive. Another point that I want us to consider this morning is why granting forgiveness is necessary. Why is it necessary for me to be a forgiving person? Why is it necessary? Well, it's very simple, isn't it? That I want to be forgiven. Do you ever need forgiveness? Then you better give forgiveness. It's amazing how what we give comes back to us, and what we refuse to give comes back to us. And so I need forgiveness. I need my wife to be forgiving to me because I make so many mistakes. I really do. I was waiting for an amen back there, but... But she loves me too much to even say amen. And so I need her forgiveness. And so what do I need to extend to her? I need to extend that loving spirit, that forgiving spirit as well. There was a little girl who was being taught in her Bible class what has been known as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And we are familiar with this prayer, the model prayer, and she was reciting this prayer. She got just a little twisted, a little mixed up on her words, and she said, Father, forgive us our trash baskets and forgive those who put trash in our baskets. But you know what? She hit it right out of the park, didn't she? She said, Father, forgive us our trash baskets. We've got trash in our baskets. We do. And they need to be empty. And forgive those who put trash in our baskets. We've got to extend forgiveness because we need forgiveness. Without God forgiving us, where would we be? And without others forgiving us, where would we be? We would be on an island by ourselves. And it would be a lonely existence. It would be a desperate life that we would live. And so we need forgiveness and we must give forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, hear the words of Jesus. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you or your trespasses. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How much simpler could it be? The Lord frames the conversation in no nonsense way. That we need it, we must give it. Also, we grant forgiveness because it is the example of God and a Christ-like life. In Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 31 and 32, hear the word of God. And that's chapter 4, I beg your pardon. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let me read that again. And allow that to sink into our hearts and to our minds. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Do you see how those things are building? Put all of these detrimental attitudes and feelings away, because these are things that destroy the heart. These are things that keep us mired in degradation and confusion and pushing others away from us and others staying away from us. He says, and be kind to one another. This is the attitude. And tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ also forgave you. In Colossians chapter 3, a parallel passage to the Ephesian passage. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and forward. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also. Now notice this. Do. That word must has been interjected by the translators. It doesn't need to be there. This also you do. It is a divine requirement. It is a divine imperative that we be forgiving just as Christ is forgiving. And so it demonstrates a Christ-like attitude and direction in our lives. It also is necessary because it allows us to move on with life. It allows us to move forward. You know, if using the Alcatraz analogy, If we are locked in the prison of an unforgiving spirit, that's just where we are. We are in prison. We are shackled. We are locked up. And you know something about bitterness? Bitterness never gets better. It doesn't. It's like a poison. It's like a bile. It is like the most horrendous cancer. And it just eats us up. It just destroys us. It just makes us, nothing is good. Nothing is the way that God intended it to be, because we are bitter. It's like this person who was bitten by a rabid dog. And this man, he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, you have rabies, and we're going to have to give you the shots for the rabies. And the man said, I understand, doctor, I understand. And so he started writing down very, very furiously a piece of paper, and the doctor said, you know, you're going to be okay. You don't have to make out a will. You don't have to, you know, there's a cure for this. He said, oh, I'm not writing a will. I'm writing down all the names of the people I want to bite before you give me the shots. Who do we want to bite? Who are we embittered about? I want you to picture in your mind's eye right now the person that you can't stand. The person that you are angry with. The person that you hate. Forgive them. Release yourself from prison. Release yourself from bondage. Go free today. To say, I'm not going to harbor that ill will any longer. No, they don't have to come groveling to me and say, oh, please forgive me, Bill. Because that may never happen, Bill. But what can happen is that, you know, I'm not going to harbor that anymore. As much as depends on me, I'm going to be with peace. I'm going to be at peace with all men. That's what the Word of God tells us to do. And we can do that. And you know what happens, what marvelously and wonderfully happens is that that burden is lifted. That dark cloud that follows you, you know, and especially when you see that person, you just, it's gone. It's gone. Because it's really difficult to hold that kind of bitterness for someone that you're praying for. Someone that the Bible says to do good to them. Regardless of what they have done to you. Is that hard? You bet it is. Is it necessary? It certainly is. And so, we need to grant forgiveness because the opposite of that is bitterness. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, or chapter 12 and verse 15. Verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. That is a powerful passage of Scripture. Pursue peace and holiness, because without it, we won't be with the Lord. From time to time, we just need to do some real close examination. To really do some stock, take stock of where we are and who we are. And to think about our lives in light of what God says. Well, forgiveness is hard. It's hard work. And I believe the reason that it is hard, because anything that is worth having isn't easy. It really isn't. And so in forgiving, we sometimes lose control of the situation. We like to be in control, don't we? We like to be the master of our situation. And in forgiving, we lose control. And what I mean by that is that we're not in control of that person. We're not in control of that situation. I want this situation just to be ideal. You know, I've got this scenario in my mind, and it's just supposed to fall in order like this. But, you know, in forgiving, it may not fall in order like that. And that's okay. But we don't like to lose control. We don't like to lose power. And it's interesting that we don't want people to have power or control over us. But when we're embittered by an unforgiving spirit, that person does have power over us. That person does have control over us. And so we need to understand that I don't have control over them, and I'm not going to allow them to have control over me. I'm going to be forgiven. It's convenient to hold on to bitterness or anger. It's convenient to walk around and to be angry. And what I mean by that is it's in our comfort zone. We don't have to do anything. You know, I don't really have to do anything to dislike a person. All I have to do is just dislike them. You know, you said something to me and I'm going to allow that to just fester on that. you hurt my feelings, or you didn't respond in the way, and so I'm just going to grovel in that kind of attitude. And so it becomes something that becomes comfortable to us. Sometimes, have you ever been like this, that you like to be mad? I just want to be mad today. I just want to be, you know, don't talk to me. That's crazy. It is. It really is nonsensical. I say that doesn't make good nonsense. And so we need to never allow that to be comfortable to us. That we don't like when we're that way. We don't like when we're viewing people this way. We want to be forgiving. We want to be loving people. There's a story about Henry Clay Frick and Andrew Carnegie. They both were great philanthropists, and they both worked together. But something happened in the relationship. Something was said. Something was done. And the men spent years at odds and fighting one another and bickering back and forth. And finally, one day, they were both elderly men, and Andrew Carnegie, he wrote a note to his friend Henry Clay Frick, and he said, "Let's stop this. Let's stop this. This is crazy. This doesn't make sense." And his friend sent him back a note, and he said, "I'll meet you in hell." Why? Because he had just gotten used to being bitter. He had just gotten used to being angry and unforgiving and unswerving in his adamancy of heart. We need to be careful. We need to maintain, to strive to maintain a tender heart. A tender heart toward people. You know, I've learned something, and it's taken me a few years to learn this, that as a general rule, people aren't bad. And as a general rule, when people are acting untoward, there's something that's going on in their lives. There's something that they're struggling with. There's something that you may never know what it is, but that will help us to be forgiving, to be tender-hearted, to see things, to try to see things through the other person's eyes. Is that, you know, you may be going through something. You may be dealing with something. Life may be very hard for you. And if we understand that, we can be a lot more forgiving in our responses, in our attitudes toward other people. In Matthew chapter 5, turn your Bibles there, please. In verse 38. Hear what Jesus had to say about what the attitude should be. "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him take away your cloak. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." You know, I've read this, and you have read this and studied this. What's the point? What is Jesus saying? Is Jesus saying you let someone pummel you? You let someone just have their way with you and just walk all over you? I don't think Jesus is saying you just stand and let somebody slap you around. I don't think he's saying that. But I think what he's getting at is the core of our problem. He's saying you have a heart toward people This is a radical teaching. This is hyperbolic speech. This is the speech that just grabs you and says, look at this, consider this. He's saying you have a heart that is genuinely open toward people and to the needs of people. And you have a heart that is responsive to others. I think that's what the Lord is saying. That's what we need to strive to do. That's a challenge, but it is something that we certainly can do. Well, how do we forgive? In closing this morning, how do we forgive? First of all, and this is primary, ask for God's help. We need to pray. We need to ask God for help. We need to ask Him in prayer to strengthen us that we might be forgiving. God, I need your heart. God, I need your help. And then we need to consider times that you and I have been forgiven by others. As we said before, just think about the times that you've needed forgiveness and that people have forgiven you, even when you made a colossal blunder, even when you did the most horrendous thing. There were those who had open hearts and outstretched arms and said, I love you. I love you. And I'm willing to forgive you. I'm willing to forgive you. And think about what we've done to God. Think about the hurt and the harm that we have caused Him. All sin is against God. And how our God washes us and makes us whole and receives us home time after time after time again. You know, remember the words that Jesus spoke to Peter. Peter came to Jesus and said, if my brother sinned against me seven times in a day, shall I forgive him seven times? And what did Jesus do? Jesus just took that statement of Peter and poof, blew it out of the water. He said, Peter, what? No, not seven times, but I say 70 times seven. He says, you keep on forgiving. You just keep on and you keep on and you keep on and you keep on and you keep on forgiving. Why? Because you need to be forgiven and forgiven and forgiven and forgiven. That's how we frame the conversation. A couple was driving down the street one time and they entered this construction zone and they came to the end of the construction zone, and the woman, she saw a sign, and she said, that's what I want written on my headstone. I want those words inscribed there for me. And you know what the words on the sign were? End of construction. Thank you for your patience.
Amen.
Amen. We're not finished until we get home. And so God needs and will forgive us and forgive us and forgive us. And we extend that to each other. Express to the one being forgiven. Maybe face to face, maybe in a letter, whatever you have to do. Is to say, you know what, I've forgiven you. And I want you to know that. And I want to move ahead with you and with God. And I want to live right, do right. And you know what may happen? I don't know. But the person might say, thank you. Because I want the same thing. And the person might take your note or your call. They might wad it up and throw it away. So what? It doesn't matter. What matters is that you have done what God required. And you can look in the mirror and say, wow, I like that guy. I like that gal. Because God likes you and is pleased with you. And move forward every single day with a forgiving attitude, with a forgiving heart, that God might forgive us that God might bless us. It is a challenge to forgive, but it is something that will be a blessing to us. It's something that we will never look back on and say, I just wish I had held on to that grudge. I just wish I had been relentless in my anger and my bitterness. No. We'll look back on life's journey and say, I'm glad that I was not wanting to hold on to that anger, that hurt. And the reason we'll be glad is because our Father will say to us, well done, you good and faithful servant. Well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Thank you for your kind attention this morning.